Amen. Father, here this day, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your presence that is not only here in your temple this morning with a few of us, but we thank you for your presence, Lord, that has settled in everybody's home right now, Lord, in everybody's living room, heart and mind. Holy Spirit, here this day we need you. Allow everyone listening and watching right now to know that you are there with them. Put me to the side here this day, Lord Father God, and allow your word to go forth to the many homes, I believe worldwide, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. If you're right there in your living room, amen, let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Worship team, you may have your seats, amen. It's an honor to be here this morning, being able to preach the gospel, amen. Even though the front doors to the church are locked, how many know that the doors to our hearts are open? And I believe the Lord wants to do something fresh, something new, that he would not be able to do if the doors of the church, the front doors of the church, were open today. There you sit in your house, contemplating in your mind of what's going to take place. I ask that your focus go on the word of the Lord here this day, and that you base what's about to take place in this world that we live in based on what he says. Based on the word of the Lord. The Lord says. So I'm excited here this day. We had a Zoom meeting the other day with the pastors, and we're all kind of giving instructions of the do's and don'ts dealing with the virus and so forth. And it was too funny because they were saying we're not supposed to touch our face, and as they were talking, it's a habit to rub your face. There was some that were rubbing their eyes and everything. And sometimes habits are hard to break, amen. But nevertheless, I caught myself about to rub my eye right now, and I put my hand back down. Man, I want to rub my eye. I got to rub my eye. Amen. I rub my nose. Those are all my little preaching moves I make. Amen. The Lord is with me. Amen. And he's so much greater than what we're all facing in these end times that we're living in right now. All together, he's just so much greater. So I bring the good news here this morning. Amen. I know there's a few people from Texas, my hometown there, tuning in here this morning, saying, Charlie's a pastor? Yeah, for the last 22 years. So it's really, really good to be able to give the word in darkened times. Amen. It's amazing that God would use me now to bring his word, which is a lamp before our feet, to show us the way in these darkened times that we're living in. Amen. I'm excited right now. I'm real excited right now because I know the Lord is doing something fresh and something new. It's so fresh, it's so new that not even the pastors have figured it out yet. It's got all the senior pastors once again walking with faith, walking on water, once again trusting in the Lord. The Lord has a way of getting everybody's attention so that His word may be taken seriously as it should be. Not only taken seriously in the good times, but also taken seriously in the hard times. And that's what I want to speak about here this beautiful morning. We're practicing with cameras right now in the church. So you see little glitches. They're in Facebook. Amen. We're in the process. I'm gonna move. Jane, I'm moving. So we're practicing right now. Amen. Because by the time them doors open again and you all are going to be so grateful to be able to enter the temple of God, we're going to have cameras rolling. You would have thought that the doors were closed, so the work of the Lord stopped, but it didn't. So usually when I preach, I walk the pulpit. This is the way I get thoughts from the Lord. So even though I'm a perfectionist, I know that we got to start somewhere. And today I'm okay with what people think. I always get caught up in what people think. But this morning I'm caught up in what the Lord thinks and what the Lord wants to say here this morning. So the camera work is going to get better and better and better. My pastor used to say gooder and gooder. Amen. He would get everybody to laugh in the church when he would say that. Amen. As we get into the word of the Lord here this beautiful Sunday morning, tell the person sitting next to you there on that couch, it's a good day. Tell your neighbor, the Lord has a word for you. Even if you haven't been to church in a long time, He still loves you and He has a word for you. The title of the message here this day, we still continue on the theme, A Time to Build. A Time to Build. And here the title of this morning's message is, A Time to Build in and out of season. A Time to Build in and out of season. In other words, we're not just supposed to build when everything's going good. We're not just supposed to do the right things when everything's going the right way. Because how many know that things are not always going to go the right way or the way you have them planned to, even for us, the pastors? And there's times that things are going to get hard in your life and within my life. And though things change, we serve a God that remains the same. Scripture says that He is the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if He don't change, He's always in control. His word always stands. It always holds. It's an anchor. So here this day, to be able to stand in the hard times, the difficult times, the times of where you have lack of understanding, no control, you feel confused. I used this scripture years ago, a few verses here that I want to use here this morning. In a totally different light pertaining to the season that we're in. You need to know within the season that we're in right now that God's goodness is still with us. God's faithfulness is still with us. He's still a good God, a faithful God. And he's concerned with your life here this morning. Because he's also a good father. As we go to 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23 here, this beautiful Sunday morning. If you don't have your Bibles, the scriptures that I'll be using here this morning will be on the screens. But I challenge you once again to pull your Bible to your feet. Ben-Hadad's officer said to him, "The Israelite gods are gods of the hills. That is why they won. But we can beat them easily on the plains." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor for this day that you have made. Your word tells us that your grace and mercies are fresh each and every morning for all of us. I pray here this day as your word goes forth, that it fall upon good ground, fertile ground, that it may be able to produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here the officers of the enemy were saying the only reason the Israelites won today is because their gods are the gods of the hill. He's using the word little g there. He's using the word plural s. How many know that there's only one God? And that's with a capital G. But here the enemy, the officers, said that the only reason they had victory here today against us was because their gods are the gods of the hills. The work of the enemy is to allow us to think that our God is limited. The work of the enemy is to allow you and I to limit what the gods of Israel were able to do. So they said, if we attack and we take them on the plains, on the flat land, in the valley, we will easily be able to defeat them. And if the work of the enemy is able to allow us to think that our God is limited, and if he can get us to think that way, that's limited. If our God is limited, that makes us very limited. And what we're all facing here in these end times that we're living in, even as Christians, I want to let you know right there within your home that our God is not limited. That our God is able to do all things. I want to let you know right now within your home that the Bible says that we too are able to do all things
through Him who strengthens us. That in Christ, ourselves are not limited here this day. But the work of the enemy would be to allow us to think that our God is limited, that He is not able to come through in times that we're living in, and to allow us to think that we're limited, and that victory to the church, to the many parts that make up the body of Christ, is a victory that only comes sometimes, but not all the time, because our God is limited. But that is not the truth. But if you look at the news long enough, you listen to your friends long enough, you will start to begin to believe that your God is limited. You will start to believe that you're very limited. And you'll start believing the lies, the report of the enemy. This morning, I come with good news. Great news. That we serve a God that is always victorious. That has called for us to always be victorious, whether we feel it or not. That we need to grow to become those sons and daughters that can stand, and after standing, to stand some more. To be able to stand in and out of season. It's important here this day what the enemy is saying and what the Lord is saying. I have a question here. How many love the hilltop victories? When everything is going good. When it's great being a Christian. Where there's a momentum within your life. You know what God's doing within your life. You know how He's guiding. You know where He's taking you. Here the Israelites had just had a great victory that day. Amen. And the enemy came with a counter. In verse 23, at the end of the verse, the Bible says, the Israelite gods are the gods of the hills. That is why they won. But we can beat them easily on the plains. How many, I have another question here, allow themselves to be defeated within the valley battles, within the battles of the plain? When you're not on top of the mountain, how many allow themselves to become defeated when things ain't going your way? When the momentum is no longer in your favor, and you're finding it hard to be a faithful Christian. We need to reach and get to the place of being able to go forward, even if we can't see it. And when at times it gets hard even to believe it, that our God is faithful and that He's always been good to us and that He has never let us down. There's times in life where we will make a bad decision coming from us. And then there's things that take place, such as this virus, that we really have no control of. And yet it's affecting all of us. But here, this Sunday morning, the good news is that God is in control. He's in control. And He's wanting to see His sons and daughters to continue to go forward, to continue to grow in these times that we're living in, because they're going to get worse. Times are going to get worse. I'm not wishing that. It's just biblical. It's in the Bible. We should not be surprised what's taking place within this world that we live in. It's all in the Word of the Lord. So you can use this season either to grow or to allow yourself to fall through fear of what's out of your control, but not out of the control of the Lord. This morning, the Lord wants to say, not only to you and I, but to the enemy, that he is not limited. And that he is in control. And because of this truth, neither are we limited. But he also wants to say that the enemy is the one that is truly limited right now. In verse 22, the Bible records, after the prophet said to the king Ahab, this is the prophet speaking to the king of Israel, and to Ahab, amen, he says, get ready for another attack. They had just had the victory, the Israelites, the people of God. And right after, the Bible says, afterward, the prophet, speaking the words of God, the prophet came to the king Ahab and said, get ready for another attack. Begin making plans now. For the king of Aram will come back next spring. It's ironic that we're in the spring right now. Amen. It's the springtime. There's a battle taking place. There's a battle taking place right now. Even though it's spring. So here, God would give word to the prophet that would give word to the king Ahab, and he would give him instructions that were coming straight from the Lord. And the first thing he told him to tell the people, get ready for another attack. Some of you might be saying that we could just get over this virus season. Everything's going to be good. And yes, it will. But you can bet here this day that there will be another attack from the enemy. So the instructions that God was giving the prophet to give to the man of God was get ready for another attack. Begin making plans now. See, some of you have the opportunity now, right now. I said at the beginning of the message to go get a notebook and a pen and take notes, and you didn't do it. But now is no longer I who speak. I'm no longer in the introduction. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the very words that God gave the prophet, that the prophet gave the man of God to carry back to the people. And get ready. Begin making plans now. And for you that are alone in your house or apartment right now, pride can't grip you. Nobody's watching if you're getting your notebook right now. Amen? It's okay. Go get it. Some of you right now, as you're hearing this message, God is speaking to you. And he's saying, the victory has already been won. But you're going to have to get ready. You're going to have to make plans now to have this victory within your mindset, within your thinking, within your heart. To have this mindset, not only at the hilltop victories, but to have this same mindset within your mind, within your heart, when things are going the wrong way within your life. Begin making plans now. You still have a TV you can watch. Your phone is still paid for that you're watching. The preaching take place through. There's going to come a time when the TV ain't going to work no more. The phone communication ain't going to work no more. And you're going to want to start making plans now to have the Word of God, the victory within your life. Begin making plans now. Begin making plans now. A lot of times we're waiting on the Lord when he's really waiting on us. He gave instructions to the prophet to give to the king, to give to the people. In verse 26, here comes the following spring. Here comes the word of the prophet coming to pass. 1 year later, springtime again. Let's pick up what the word of the Lord has to say. The following spring, he called up the Aramean army and marched out against Israel, this time at Aphek. In other words, this time they attack not on the hilltops, but this time they attacked in the valley. Amen? The enemy came a different way this time. Remember what the officers of the king, he told them, the only reason they won this battle against us this day is because their gods are the gods of the hilltop. Here comes the following spring, and this time the enemy attacks a different way. He attacks, the Bible says there at the end, This time, at Aphek. He didn't come the same as he did the spring before. This time, the attack was located on the plains. Verse 27, the Bible reads, Israel then mustered up its army, set up supply lines, and marched out for battle. But the Israelite army, that was a big problem here, amen? Even though they had had victory the spring before with this same army, the Bible says, but the Israelite army looked like two little flocks of goats in comparison to the vast Aramean forces that filled the countryside. Too many times we make comparisons based on what we see, based on what we hear. And as we make comparisons, if we're not careful, actions will follow based on us making comparisons of what's taking place in this time that we're living in. Even though Israel was going out to battle, they looked at themselves as two little flocks, not just two, it could have been two big flocks of goats, but they looked at themselves as two little flocks of goats. In comparison, the Bible says, to the enemy, the forces that filled, the Bible says, the countryside. And right now, I believe many feel outnumbered by what's taking place in this world that we're living in right now. You're watching church on TV, church on your phone right now. You might be feeling like one of those goats and one of those two flocks. You might be feeling like a goat. You might be feeling limited. And what you're able to do in your apartment, in your house, in your condition, watching all the churches shut down worldwide, feeling limited in your house, while the enemy is just taking the world over. If you make a comparison right now in the natural, that's what it looks like. The church of God looks like two little flocks of goats. In comparison to what the work of the enemy is doing right now in his attack in the springtime. See, I couldn't wait for spring to come because we purchased a beautiful country house on 6 beautiful acres. And I'm looking at the little buds on the trees and the plants because I'm a country boy, man, at heart. A lot of times we look at spring as flowers, going to the beach, having good time, spending time with family. But there's a battle taking place. There's a battle interrupting our lifestyle and what we would be doing if this virus wouldn't be taking place right now. And we can feel very limited. And we can continue to see what the work of the enemy is doing and hear on the news what the work of the enemy is doing. As you continue to receive all this news, I call it a truth lie or a half truth. of news. They're preaching the truth, what's really taking place, but it's not the biblical truth. And the Bible reads that as they were looking, amen, there in verse 27, that they looked at themselves. The Bible says, but the Israelite army looked. Bible says that they looked. Is that verse 27? It has it in there. But the Israelite army looked like two little flocks of goats. That's what it looked like to the naked eye. But to the eye of the Lord, to the word that came from the Lord, to the prophet, to the king, to the people, there was a different report that was taking place that couldn't be seen with the eye, only heard with the ear, with the instructions that were given to them. Feeling limited in your apartment, in your house, while the enemy is just taking the world over. That's not a truth. In verse 28, the Bible reads, then the man of God went to the king of Israel and said, this is what the Lord says. Once again, the prophet, amen, went to the king of Israel and said, this is what the Lord says. Real important part right there. The man of God speaking what the Lord was saying to the people. Then the man of God went to the king of Israel and said, this is what the Lord says. You might be seeing yourself as two little flocks of goats in comparison to the vast army, the forces that fill the countryside right now before your eyes. So I will defeat this vast army for you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. There's times the Lord don't need anybody to do what he wants to do. There's things in our lives that only God and God alone can do. And there's times that we're not going to have control. But we need to know who is always in full control. Not only in the good times, but also in the hard times. And I believe sometimes battles need to take place. I believe at times that the enemy needs to attack. Then you and I would be able to see that the Lord, that you will know that the Lord, our God, is who he says he is, and that he's able to do what he says he's able to do. Sometimes we got to be placed in these predicaments of not having control to be able to seek the Lord, who has full control here this day. I've been traveling in and out of my house every single day, 24/7 around the clock. There's little funny things on Facebook that speaks about the introvert. It's a picture that both people are having a blast. They're indoors, the introverts. And
Then there's the other one, me, the extrovert. Then there's me. I can't stay indoors. I've been going in and out of Menards 1,000 times. And some of you might be saying, Pastor, that's not really wise. And to you, that might be a truth. To the news, that might be a truth. You have a family. I know I have a family. But I also have a God. I also have a God. He's seen me through many things way beyond a virus. Amen. I OD'd 15 times. He pulled me out of death 15 times. He pulled me out of prison without a tattoo on me. That's a miracle in itself. 22 years later, I have not cussed. 22 years later, I have not touched a drop of alcohol, a puff of a cigarette, any type of narcotic. That's what my God did for me while I was still yet a sinner, powerless, ungodly man. That's what he did for me. Do I got to use wisdom? Yes, I got to use wisdom. Do I clean my hands? Yes, I've always cleaned my hands a lot, way before this virus came. I got 20-some people living in my house. Amen. I wash my hands all the time. That's nothing new to me. But I got to be honest. Amen. I keep a little, that one of those little sanitizer bottles in my pocket. Once in a while, I put some. And I go once again into the store. And but I have not stopped going forward in my time with the Lord or what I normally would be doing. We got to be able to trust in the Lord sometimes. And I know some pastors will have different beliefs on this. But my belief is that if the Lord has seen me through these 22 years, through some big, big, big battles that hurt it way beyond what I feel right now because of a virus, He can see me through this. I always tell everybody, when you're doing God's will and your conscience is clear and you're making the right moves, doing the right things, when it's time to go, it's God's time for you to go. There was a time that not a one of us were afraid to die when we were in the world. I proved it over and over. I OD'd 15 times, got right back up and started shooting some more dope. From the prettiest women to prostitutes 24/7. You, Pastor Charlie, sure did. I take it a little bit further than that, because I'm testifying right now. I was with prostitutes that had full-blown AIDS over and over and over and over. Not only with them sexually, but sharing the same water that was pink from all the dope we had shot in the shooting gallery. Shooting dope with pink water. Everybody's blood in there. And when I walked with the enemy, I had no fear in getting high. Though I had lost everything, I had no fear that this one might be the last one. I would put a little bit more on the spoon. I had no fear that the consequences meant prison. I had no fear that the consequences meant losing all my family. I had no fear, though the consequences even included death.
I was going to get high no matter what took place. But pastor, you're not getting high no more. You can't think like you're not. Yes, I am. Pastor, still getting high, but I'm getting high on the Most High that saw me through all those areas when I didn't deserve it. Now, you may not have gone through what I went through there in your living room saying, Pastor, you may have not gone through all the stuff I went through. I could share many more stories. That's the PG version. Many more stories I have that go way beyond what I've been speaking in this last few minutes. But I believe it's important that I speak these things. It might not have been addiction for you or the opposite sex, but the enemy had you deceived one way or the other where you needed a savior, where you needed a God that was not limited, where you needed victory within your life. I told myself I was going to stay polished. The cameras are rolling. They're going off. But this is who Pastor Charlie is. This is the way I preach. This is the way God has raised me up to preach. And this is the way I'm going to continue to preach, because this is the purpose and why God took me out of that field from the darkened. But I believe, if you're like me, that it was so much greater than being locked up in your house or your apartment. Going back to getting polished again, amen? I'm real careful to say all the right words here this day to not cross the line, to keep it. Encourage the people. Encourage the people. I'm encouraging you. I'm showing you and I'm testifying how big God was when we were all messed up. Scripture says, one of our promises, that we're treasures out of darkness. What Jesus did for you and I was not a layback thing. He took it to the cross. He took it way beyond what I took in the world, losing my life. He did it without sin in his life. I did it because I was in bondage to sin. Because I was in bondage to sin, I was willing to do anything and everything. And getting high, because that's all I could see. The Lord is telling each and every one of us to get ready. Another attack is coming. To prepare yourself now. Some of you need to get your Bible out. Some of you need to start studying. Some of you got to start doing something now. To know that God is with you. Because if you don't, even though you have past victories, as Israel did the spring before, they defeated this army. Spring came around again, and they were looking at themselves as two little flocks of goats in comparison to what the enemy looked like. This is what the Lord says. I have a question here. It's a real simple one. Who wants to be part of God's next move? Which one of you right now listening to this message in the plains, in the valley, in the hard times, the darkened times, want to be part of God's next move? The last time I looked, we are a frontline ministry. If we don't get the job done, who is? If we're not going to pray for the sick, who will? If we're not going to have faith as God calls us to have faith, who will? We are Victory Outreach, not just Milwaukee, but Victory Outreach International, because we serve a big God that is not limited, that has been able to hit all the four corners of the world through people like you and I that were lost, that some pastor had to step out in saving. And if there's ever a time that the Lord is looking for ministers to cross the line, to being part of God's next move, it's right now. You can do it with a little sanitizer bottle in your pocket if you want to. But we can't stop everything. We can't freeze because the enemy's at work. Because the Lord had, when everything was going good, and I believe also within my heart that the Lord is looking for men and women that can worship Him, not only in the hilltop, but that can worship Him in the plains, in the valley. That can praise Him, that can worship Him in the desert times, in the hard times. I want to be part of God's next move, because that's was what I was saved for in the first place. To be a man that God could count on. To be there when He calls me to be there. I cannot become lukewarm. I want to remain on fire for God. And remaining on fire, God, represents not looking like very polished speaker, so be it. I want to remain on fire for God. I want God to be able to use my life, my hands, my body to do miracles. No matter what the times look like, sound like, I know and we need to know that our God is in control. How dare us be petrified and stopped by all what the Lord has already done within our lives. How dare us to want to play it safe until things blow over. Once again, I ask you, who wants to be part of God's next move? In verse 29 and 30, and getting ready to close. The two armies camped opposite of each other. It's showtime, amen? For 7 days, they were checking each other out. Israel felt like two little flocks of goats. And I believe they were there for revenge, amen? Because the spring before, they had lost in battle to the Israelites. And the Bible records that on the seventh day, the battle began. The Israelites killed 100,000 Aramean foot soldiers in one day. The rest fled into the town of Aphek, but the wall fell on them and killed another 27,000. Ben-Hadad fled into the town and hid in a secret room. It looked like he had the upper hand, but now he's running, fleeing, and hiding in a secret room. The Bible records that that day, for the second spring in a row, that they had a great victory. That 127,000 were killed by two little flocks of goats? Or was it that God was with them and that God brought those walls down and that God was with them? There's times that it looks like God ain't with us. And sometimes to allow us to see that he is with us, he'll kick up a battle. He'll kick up a battle. I don't know about you, but every fiber within my life right now is speaking victory. There ain't no defeat in my body whatsoever. In my thinking, am I concerned about what's taking place? Yet, yes. Am I careful with my family? Yes. You got to remember that Grandpa lives with us. He's 77 years old. Had an operation, stitches, and guess who tends to him? I do. Marlene does it, but there's just some that's just a little bit too graphic that I said, I'll do it. It's not who are we this day, but who is the Lord? And that day, he had a great victory. And right now, we're in a time of great victory, according to what the Lord says. Now, if you're listening to the news and you live on Facebook and you're hearing all these statistics that are being said, you, my friend, are in fear. You're in fear. You're hearing more what the enemy has to say than what the word of the Lord has to say here this day. You're allowing yourself to be filled with what the enemy's doing, the statistics of the enemy, the vast army that covers the countryside. And the more you look at all that stuff, the more you will feel like a goat when God says we are more than conquerors. And that's on a bad day. Remember, the title of the message is A Time to Build. In and out of season. In and out of season. Today after this message, I will eat and I will take off to Menards again. Fixing my house right now. When I pray, I pray looking at a back parking lot. That's the window I look out. My next praying spot's going to oversee beautiful country. The creation of the Lord. So I'm working hard to get there. It's a new season in my life. That I know God is in control of. So I encourage all of you there listening on Facebook that today's a good day. If you see it the Lord's way. If you go according to what the Lord not only says, but what is able to do. I want to encourage you right now, the flock that God has entrusted me with. I love all of you. I love all of you. Your pastor hasn't mellowed out. He's still crazy at times trying to act polished. I'm still there for you. If you want me at your house, you give me a call and I will be there to pray for you. Any one of y'all can call me. Because I know the Lord is with me. And I know you still need a shepherd at this time. And it coming through your phone may not be good enough for you today. So I encourage you to spend time with the Lord.
that you can do everything you need to do within your house and seeking the Lord. Amen. As the worship team makes their way forward here this day, I am excited to be a minister. I'm here to say that I love you. My phone number is still the same number. You can give me a call. I haven't changed my number in 17 years. The day I got here, I've kept that same number. Because I'm a pastor that you can get a hold of. You can call me at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. And I will pick up the phone like I've been waiting for your phone call. Because I know what it is to be out there. I know what it is to be lost and bound. I know what it is to be in doubt, to be in question. What's going to happen to my life? And here this day, we're going to make an altar call. Even though the altars of the church are empty, I would challenge you to build an altar right there within your living room. That you would build an altar, and every time we preach on Friday, on Sunday, that you would make your altar call. That you would be able to come to the Lord. I believe there's some that are going to really be able to come to the Lord the way you would really want to. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, sometimes we don't do what we really want to do at the altar call of the church, because we're worried and concerned in what people might say, or they might see us broken at the altar, and it hinders how we really want to come to the Lord. You have a privilege right now to make an altar call in your house, all by yourself, or just there with your family. All by yourself. To be broken before the Lord. Right there in your house. We're going to start a song right now. And this is the time for you to go to the Lord. To know that our God is greater. And He has saved you for such a time as this to make a difference in somebody else's life. Right there in your living room, wherever you're at, just give it over to the Lord. The battle belongs to Him anyhow. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Our God is greater, and our God is stronger. God, You are higher.
Yes, yes, yes. In your home, there's a place for you to get to the one.